God. David Langford.
It's only one piece of paper, don't worry. Let's just say a prayer, shall we? Father, I pray that the thoughts that have been in my mind over the last few days and the words that I speak from that this morning may be glorifying to you, Lord, and helpful to each one of us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I wasn't sure what to say to you this morning. Haven't had very long to think about it. But there's been something on my mind for some weeks and weeks, I suppose. And that's the sort of message I want to bring, hoping that it would help. I don't know what you think of the world at the moment. Does anybody listen to the news anymore? It's pretty depressing, isn't it? And the world that God made so beautifully is full of cruelty, terrible cruelty, people to each other, abuse of children, terrible cruelty to animals in every country of the world, and it's not a very nice place. There is beauty, of course. God made a beautiful world in the first place, and even the things that he made beautifully are still barely visible sometimes, where they've been spoiled by sin and by the devil. The disease of the world is sin. Science has tried to solve the problems of the world and has done a great deal to improve it in many ways, particularly, I think, in medicine and in agriculture, maybe. But the world is still a terribly bad place and full of hatred and violence and cruelty. And science has no answer for this, because the disease is sin. And there's only one answer to sin, and that's the cross of Christ. So Christ came to get rid of sin and death and to defeat the devil. And he was defeated on that cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." And we have that great confidence as we look at the suffering in our world, that it is because of the devil that it's there. But the devil is finished. Still active, but ultimately finished. In 1516, a man wrote a book about an imaginary island called Utopia. And in Utopia, there was perfect politics. I wonder if we could ever know that. Perfect politics, and perfect peace, and perfect everything. It was a place of perfection. And people, I think, sometimes think that we might still be heading there. I don't see that when I look at the world. I see it going the other way and getting worse in many ways. Certainly, utopia will never come until we reach heaven, where God is there and there is perfection. So where does God fit into our world? Well, the message I want to bring to you is that he wants us to enjoy fullness of life and joy in believing and trusting in his Son Jesus. I'll say that again, it's a lot in one sentence. God wants us to enjoy fullness of life and joy in believing and trusting in his Son Jesus. In the Bible, in Psalms, there is a verse that says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Fullness of joy. And also in believing and trusting in his Son, there is fullness of joy. Paul prayed for us to be filled with the fullness of God. That's a big thing, isn't it? Be filled with the fullness of God in our lives. And when I thought about these things, I thought, do we want to be that close to God? Is it a bit scary? When you think about God, who made the universe and the stars and has the power to change everything at the blink of an eye, Is it a bit scary to be that close to God? Well, I don't think it is. Because what we think is that when we get near to God, we lose life's pleasures. That God is some sort of holy man who will deny us the things that we enjoy in life. But you have to remember that God made everything. And most of the things that we enjoy in life, apart from those which are purely sinful, are good things, and God wants us to enjoy them. When we come close to God, we don't lose anything, but we gain everything. We gain everything. When I retired some number of years ago now, I was told that don't go to bed at night without making a list. Make a list ready for the next day. Because if you don't, the next day will drift through and you'll have done very little. Maybe you watched a bit of TV or something like that, but you won't have done very much and you might become a couch potato. So I started making lists and I found it helpful. Lots of good things to do, but when I make lists, I don't often think about where God fits in on my list. And I think what I wanted to bring to you this morning is the idea of where God fits in your life list when you wake up. A little while ago, I went to coffee and there was a little map for sale written by Thomas Willoughby. And I've had it in front of me on my desk since then. And he's turned around a verse in the Bible very cleverly. And he says, you won't find God if you don't seek him. You won't find God if you don't seek him. And of course, the verse in the Bible that he's referring to is God saying, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart and your soul. Thomas says, you won't find God if you don't seek him. That's a good message, a very good message. God wants us to seek him. And if you look through the New and Old Testaments, you can find so many verses that say, seek me and you'll find me. There's one in Isaiah that says, seek God while he's near. While he's near. And the verse really is saying something about sin and the fact that if we have things in our lives which we're hanging on to and which we know are wrong and need to be dealt with, it's hard to find God when you seek him. We need to look at our hearts, search our hearts and lives, and bring to God those things and say, God, help me with these things. I need them to be sorted out in my life. Then, if you seek him with your heart and soul, you will find him. And he promises it dozens and dozens and dozens of times in the Bible. And that's a great encouragement. And I think it's also a great encouragement that when we seek God, we don't find a God in the heavens who's a mighty king looking down on us. We find a father who wants to be called Abba. And I thought about this and I thought Abba means intimacy. And God actually wants us to be intimate with him. He wants to know us in an intimate way. As a father with a child. And we're all children while we're in this world in relation to God. He wants that intimacy. And, you know, there are some people who say, well, I don't really want that. And when Jesus was on the earth teaching and preaching, he had 12 disciples and a number of others who followed him. But he began to talk about the cross and about the fact that he had to die and be risen, rise again from the grave. And most of the ones who were surrounding the disciples, the hangers-on, if you like, the peripheral people, they left. They deserted him. And Jesus said to his 12, will you also go away and leave me? And good old Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this is our Saviour, the words of eternal life. And God the Father is fullness of life, as is Jesus. He also told a little parable about building your house on a rock. You remember the wise man built his house upon the rock. We sing it to the children. Well, Jesus said, build your house on a rock. Because all other ground in this world is shifting sand. And you know what happens to houses built on shifting sand. And I look back over my life and I've built many houses in the sand. And I know most of them will be washed away eventually. But there's only one place to build our house in life, and that's on the rock of Christ. He is the rock on which we should build our lives. President Trump is probably going to be remembered for one thing only in his life. America first. America first. And I would say to you this morning, what we need to say is God first. God first. All other ground is shifting sand. God first. So when you make your list in the morning, list or not, when you wake up in bed in the morning, I'm trying to practice this myself. I'm not perfection. When you wake up, talk to God, the Father, as you open your eyes and commit your day to Him. Just talk to Him. If you're on your own, you can talk out loud. Just tell Him about your day and what's ahead of you and what you're worried about and the things that bother you or the things you're interested in and excited about or the people you wish to see and meet, and ask Him to help you and guide you through your day. And when you're on the train or anywhere else, you can still be talking to Him in your heart and mind. You don't leave Him out at all in your life. He's always there, like a father to a child. And it's this intimacy that God wants from us. He wants us to be intimately involved in our lives with Him. So the message is, put God first. And at the end of the day, look back over the day and thank Him for the things He guided you in. Because your list may have changed from what you thought. What you started out thinking in your mind was what you were going to do may turn out to be something different. Something turns up, or your mind thinks about something that you ought to do instead. And that's how the Father speaks to us. He wants to be intimate. He wants to talk to us. Talk to Him. Seek me, said God, with all your heart and your soul, and you'll find me. Make God number one. God first. Not America, not Britain, not Brexit. God. Amen.